Welcome to the ES Arcade with Emmanuel, Sean, and Randy. Join us as we discuss video games, movies, and comics. And now, ladies and gentlemen,
let's go crazy!
The red light is on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the ES Arcade. I am Emmanuel. Dancing to the side of me is Randy.
Hey, hey.
And unfortunately, Sean has gotten a bit of a bug right now, so he won't be joining us.
No.
We told him to go back to sleep. He called right before I hit the record button, and he's just like, I'm running a bit of a fever. I said, go back to sleep. Yeah. Don't even worry about it. I prefer your health over the show.
Yeah.
100% of the time. So he will be joining us again next weekend. So it's just us. So, Randy, how's it going, man?
It is going, going okay. You and I are here. We got stuff to talk about. Fun times going on.
Yeah.
Halloween passed, unfortunately,
lackluster flair.
Yeah, for it being on a Saturday.
Womp, womp.
Super lame, but it's okay. Did you do anything fun on Halloween? Like, did you do anything specifically, I assume?
Hung out with a buddy. It was just us. So, no large gatherings or anything. And he's not sick, and I'm not sick, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Just played video games, yeah. Didn't get to do the movie thing that I was hoping to do, but those movies will always be there. I can always watch them afterwards. And, it's not like horror video games only appear once a year.
Yeah.
I'll still be able to play them when it's good and ready.
I was actually talking to my son about how Halloween is like, there's Halloween movies, but... and Thanksgiving movies, Valentine's Day. He's like, but there's no Thanksgiving movie. Like, there's no definitive Thanksgiving movie. And I went, no, there isn't.
No.
And I don't know. There's movies that have Thanksgiving in it, but they're not like, that's the Thanksgiving
movie. It's the bastardized holiday.
No one wants it. But it's such a big gathering holiday, which I'm like, I guess it's
Let's be honest. It doesn't get a movie, but it gets a parade every year.
It does get a parade. It does get a really kick-ass parade.
Yeah.
So, which is not happening this year, so... yeah,
it's where we saw the demise of Sonic the balloon at one point.
Yeah,
poor tough, blue man. Bastard.
But it was just those thin things. Like, yeah, our Halloween was pretty chill. My son actually dressed. My mom bought him a Mandalorian costume. I don't know if you saw it on my Instagram. I actually posted a picture of what we did.
I'll have to take a look at that.
Yeah, he dressed as the Mandalorian. My plan: I was supposed to find Yoda ears so I can be good old Baby Yoda with him while we're walking around, but I couldn't find it. So I actually have a shirt that says Yoda Best Dad, and it's Yoda on it. It was a Father's Day shirt I had gotten this year. And then, but what we did is we did a reverse Halloween where we made goodie bags for some of his classmates and his cousins. So we went to their house very safely, mind you, and dropped off a little Halloween gift bag because we knew they weren't going out. So we got the little candy, little like toys and whatnot in there, and gave them out. It was really funny. It was really funny what we got to do on that.
Right on, man.
Yeah. And then we went home and relaxed, had dinner. I mean, that was pretty much it. Watched a couple. Like, I can't watch a lot of scary movies because my son doesn't like it. My wife also doesn't like it. But I did catch. I was watching. I watched. I don't know if I call it a horror movie. But there was a suspense film I'd watched that I've been wanting to see because I was like, what is this? Paradise Hills. And it's a movie. It's actually it's a foreign film, but it has all American actors in it. So, like, Mila Jovovich is in there. Emma Roberts is in it, along with.
I think I saw a trailer for that now that you bring up those names.
Awkwafina is in there, and it's interesting because it's the idea that it's supposed to be like a finishing school for ladies who are quote-unquote troublemakers, and then you find out what the truth is. And I watched it, I was like, I don't know what's going on, but I want to know what's going on.
Yeah, but I want to figure it out.
Yeah, it is very Europe, like it is, feel like a very much like a foreign film, a foreign suspense, very high. Like high production value, like super high production value. When I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, Emma Roberts is like considered one of this generation's queens of Scream. Like she's done a lot of the American Horror Stories, and then like she started doing like other roles in that genre.
Well, which is kind of
Which is kind of cool because, like, if you really think about it, a lot of the big name celebrities, I don't think you would see them do a horror movie these days. Like when I think of like up there actors and actresses, I think like Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
And I can't remember his name, which is really saying something because he hasn't done anything in a while. But he was on ER.
Oh, George Clooney.
George Clooney. Like, you won't see, like, we saw Clooney do it in the 90s when he did the Tarantino flick.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't really see emerging stars that come from the horror genre.
And
Emma Roberts is, like, a really good position to be one of those. And it's a bit of a bummer because what ends up happening a lot is people end up getting typecast.
Yeah.
So it's harder for them to get other roles. So what I am worried about is that, don't get me wrong, being labeled a queen of Scream for the horror genre is a pretty cool honor, but it also gets you typecast where it's like, hey, you know what? I want to try to do a serious drama. And they're like, we're working on a horror movie next year. Maybe we can call you then. Like,
she's actually been doing, like, I actually watched a couple of movies where she's in it, and it's a wide variety of films.
Yeah.
Okay, like, she's good. in a Christmas movie that's a rom-com, but it's American Pie presents a Christmas rom-com movie. That's what it was, because it was a holiday film. Yeah, okay, but get this. But it was very, I'm gonna use the word, it is not family friendly. It is, to me, very funny. I watched it. I thought it was a cute, as far as rom-com goes, but it was also very vulgar in a lot of the things they did, which I love comedy like that. I love
It's funny because it's like the guys from American Pie. It's like they're starting.
They didn't do it. I'm just saying it's as if they did.
Okay.
They didn't actually do it. It's called The Holidate. I watched it on Netflix. You can catch it. I just thought it was hilarious. I realized it was a movie that I was watching it. I didn't know what it was about. There's a part that happens in the film where it introduces these characters and a thing that occurs. And I told my son, like, you got to leave the room. You can't see it. It's like, it's a Christmas movie, right? I'm like, no, you can't see that. Not for you to see. Not for kids to see.
Not the Christmas movie you're thinking of, kid.
No, kiddo. I can't have you ask questions, where did that woman's head go in that sequence? I'm like, no, you gotta go. I can't explain this to you now.
Yeah.
But yeah, actually, what's good is that you mentioned Emma Roberts being the Scream Queen, but she is also the last villain for the Scream movie series, because she was the villain in that movie. She was the killer, which is like a very rare thing to see, where this character as a woman is the killer in the movie. Spoiler alert, folks.
Didn't they do that in the second one, actually?
Laurie Metcalf, but she's not really in it as much, but she's also not the last one to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, but there was something talking about like Scream 4, where it's like a thing you didn't actually expect. It was also weird because Laurie Metcalf, she is the killer in it, but it's also one of those things where she's in it for like maybe 15 minutes, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You don't know who she, you're like, oh, and it's that whole, hey, you're Billy Loomis, Mrs. Loomis? I'm like, for real? That's how they get her? That's how this is explained?
Yeah.
Nothing against Laurie Metcalf. I thought she was great in it. I thought it was awesome that she was the killer, but the fact that Emma
it's kind of what you got with the Wes Craven flick, you know?
Yeah. It's like, okay.
I'll admit, and you know, if you look at it now, it's just like so corny, but I'll admit, when I was younger, like the first Scream movie did genuinely scare me.
Dude, it is frightening, especially when they killed like in the beginning of the movie. You're like, oh my God, this poor girl. Like, she didn't make it.
Yeah. No, yeah. But then, what he ends up doing afterwards is he tries to include enough like high school comedy to it.
Yeah.
And it starts to dilute the series a little bit. And then any movie that he made after that kind of did the same thing. Like, I don't know if you remember the werewolf movie Cursed.
Yeah. That was in production hell for a long time.
Yeah.
And
then like the perfect example that I can give when it comes down to that type of humor is when they're trying to antagonize one of the werewolves who is like a teeny boppy teenager.
Yeah.
And like, she's like, oh, and her fat butt, and it's not even like symmetrical and everything. And then at one point you see a werewolf go on screen flipping the bird.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, like, that's, no.
You know what? I feel bad for that movie because I think there was a lot of studio issues with it, because you can't necessarily do the movies you want to do with that. I also think for him, the nail in the coffin was the Scream franchise, because it was a movie that kind of poked fun at the formula of slasher films. and that it was in itself a very interesting slasher film. But then, you know,
it's what happened to Blink 182. It's what happened to Blink 182, where they made All the Small Things, which is supposed to make fun of like the current trend of music, of pop music, and then it became like the centerfold of pop music.
Yeah.
That's what ended up happening with the
screenplay. It's like one of their best songs they ever made.
And that's why I was really, really excited for Cursed because of the fact that it's like, okay, well, he's not doing that anymore. It's like, okay, he's doing something completely different. So maybe we'll get something really cool. And it's just like, no, there's still a lot of the corny jokes on there. And I'm like, oh, man.
Well, it was also like in production. I remember hearing about it. And then 3 years later, it came out because he had to like redo stuff. It was in production hell for a long time. And there was like a lot of weird, like there's some interesting parts to it that you didn't expect to hear, like how the werewolf in the end, how she explains, like, basically how she became a werewolf was because, you know, she fooled around with the dude and got some of his body fluid and bam, werewolf. I'm like, hold on, that's a thing? Does that work? Does that work?
Yeah, because you always hear like a scratch or a bite.
You're like, oh.
You would never think that, what's it called? Lycanthropy? Is a sexually transmitted disease or a sexually transmitted infection.
She got some third base action and then a werewolf. And I love that she owned it. That was Judy Greer. Judy Greer, very prolific. That's Judy Greer. She's known to be the, the third on the call sheet actress because she's always the friend in a lot of movies. And then she turned out to be the villain. You're like, oh my God, this is awesome. I love her.
I loved her. You know what? Speaking of horror movies, I loved her in Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
She was amazing on that. Like, my absolute favorite part, and mind you, it's been out for a while, so nobody complained to me about, like, oh, spoiler. The scene where they're like, you need to shoot him, and she, like, just breaks down. She's like, I'm scared. I can't do it. And then, like, Michael hears it, so he comes back in frame, and she's like, gotcha, you son of a bitch, and he just, like, cracks him in the head. I was like, oh, love it.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. Speaking of that, by the way, Halloween Kills has been announced.
Yes.
2021. Interested to see. I'm interested to see how Michael got himself out of that one, or if he just basically withstood the flames and then got out as soon as everything crumbled down.
I feel like that's like you have to have that happen.
Well, because there was that one Halloween movie where I don't know why he felt the need to escape because he is Michael.
Yeah,
but where he ends up slashing one of the guys' vocal cords.
Oh yeah, yeah,
puts
that's
his mask
Halloween
on him.
H2O,
right?
And then they have the new, was it the one after? It explains how he survived it. He broke the larynx of a it wasn't a firefighter.
Security guard, right?
No, it was a paramedic. He took a paramedic's because he took the paramedic jumpsuit. He took it off the, which I'm like, hold on a second. You're telling me that he just took that. He took off the mask, put it on him, took off his jumpsuit, put it
right
on. But yeah, how he survived.
I thought that was a very, very clever way of doing it, but...
But it's also weird to see Michael Myers do normal things.
Right, like to try to escape, like...
To escape and get... But not even that, but like to get dressed. Like he took off the mask, took off his clothes.
Well, okay, so see, I could see him doing that very, very methodically. Like you would think, like, if it were us and we were trying to escape something and we came up with that idea, we're going to, like, just gush and like, oh, my God, hurry up. But he was like, I almost feel like even though he doesn't say anything, he was humming in his head as he was doing, like,
I imagine him going, he's playing the Crying Game theme song. What do you know?
Like, you know.
Or he's, like, putting us, like, I'm going to change my clothes.
Right, just like ad-libbing it in his head, because we never hear anything from the guy. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm hoping everybody comes back from the original movie or from the previous movie, because it's not the original. So like, I'd love to see Jamie Lee Curtis come back. I'd love to see Judy Greer coming back.
I believe there's already some notes on that, but I think they are getting everybody, or as many as who are available.
Especially with everything going on with COVID, like. Because they're working on this movie now for next year. So we're still under a lot of those restrictions, you know.
Well, there's a lot of shows that are back now that are, like, I've seen the diet. Like, there's a show I watch on NBC called The Superstore. I follow a lot of the actors on it. If anyone out there who has been watching Superstore, watch it. It's a very fun show. But they have, actually, their season premiered now, and they are filming in L.A. during the COVID-19 protocols, which is like they're even their makeup room or like where they get makeup in the trailer and everything, they're all separated by like plexiglass and they're still trying to be very safe and everyone gets tested and whatnot. And I look at them like, oh my God, I can't believe that's a thing. But it is for the time being until we find a way to
Tell me
stamp this
about it.
out. But yeah.
So I'm really excited for the Halloween movie. And like I said, if everyone could come back, that'd be great. Again, I'm very curious as how they're gonna write in like how he survived that.
Yeah.
I mean, because I think we've come to the realization, okay, gun's not gonna work because like I said, Judy Greer got him dead center in the head,
Yeah.
and like he still gets up from things like that.
I
Let me ask you something. Would you be interested in an origin of how Michael became or how he was able to become as invulnerable as he is?
think they've done that already, and
Did
isn't
they?
it? Well, there's a
Was there an explanation as to how and why he is as powerful as he is?
I want to say there's like one of the old sequels. Basically, it's like there's like a cult that let me see.
It's always a cult, damn
It's a
it.
cult that brings them back or that gives them this powers. I want to say, because it's like there's Halloween 3, which was that not Halloween movie with Michael Myers. It's there's like a witch cult that curses. God, when I say it out loud, it sounds really dumb. That cursed costumes. So when people wore them, they got like turned into maggots or whatever.
Yeah, you're right. It's according to
Season of the Witch or
Google.
whatever.
Yeah, it says the Thorn Cult. It
Yes.
says it is this cult that gave Michael his powers. The Thorn Cult places a curse on a child from their tribe, currently Michael Myers. The curse of Thorn
Yeah.
is what makes him invincible and commands him to kill every member of his family as a sacrifice to keep the cult alive.
Yes. Which I don't know they're making that canon. I think it'd be interesting if they could find a way to a scary way to make it happen. Because when you see it, like when you saw it in the 80s, it was not great. It was like a bunch of yuppies and they weren't there's like a there's a whole you know what it actually reminded me of is imagine if they had that what was it called in Dead Space? The thing that they were all going after that made everyone crazy and turned into monsters.
I don't remember what it's called, but I know what you're talking
Yeah.
about.
Like it was I want to say pillar. It's not the pillar, it's the something. But
Something like that,
there
yeah.
was something like that that they this cult worshipped, and then that's where they got Mike. They put Michael's body, and then they made him. God, man, when you say plots to movies from that era and you say it out loud, it sounds really dumb.
Yeah, okay, so it says a mysterious, okay, so Mrs. Minnie Blankenship, a mysterious old woman who was babysitting Michael the night he was cursed, was possibly in the operating room with the doctors and killed by Michael. Okay.
When you say these things out loud,
Yeah.
you go, "What?" So I don't know if any of that's canon. I mean, they very well could use something like that. I feel like that'd be the only explanation, but they don't have to go too deep into it. They don't have to say,
Because the idea is it's actually more scary for Michael, if
"Yeah,
anything else.
yeah."
And I think if they try to introduce
The Thorn Cult.
the Thorn Cult, yes, it's kind of hard to say. I think,
Ah, sorry, just think like, "Ooh, the
yeah,
Thorn
right.
Cult."
I think it would actually dilute from the lore of Michael because
Yeah.
it'll try to shine away from Michael himself.
Yeah. I mean, the explain his invincibility, it's not gonna. The only way that would work is it or help is if there's a way to exploit it so he's no longer invincible.
It sounds so much like an explanation for Jason Voorhees or Freddy
Yeah.
Krueger, and it's just like, yeah, it's kind of cheesy.
It's when you think about it now. Like, though, I get why all have like I get the why Jason turned out the way he did because I makes sense because at least especially in the first movie is that he you know he was ignored he was a child with special needs these teenagers were ignoring him and then the mom got mad and got revenge. Spoiler alert, people, first movie is actually Mrs. Voorhees who's killing all those teenagers, which is super impressive and frightening. And the second movie for some reason he comes back to life and is a giant dude. don't know why.
Do you ever play that horror game, that horror fighting game, by the way? Where you get to
Yes.
play as you played
Yeah.
it?
Yeah. It's not great. It's not terrible. It's one of those, as a fighting system, it's not bad, but it's also one of those things where if it didn't have these horror characters in it,
Nobody would play it.
nah, who cares?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's one of those things where, especially for that type of for Halloween kills, I don't know what their story is. I just cared that they bring back the other people and that the that it's you know, plausible. Make the thing still plausible for me.
Do you think they'll ever find out about the Thorn cult?
I really hope not.
Yeah.
Because now I'm saying all these things out loud, and you're like, oh God. If they do, make it make more sense. Like,
Right.
I don't know. I don't need a reason why.
It feels so Stephen Kingish, you know?
It's like I mean, which works for his stories. It makes sense. But for this, I don't. It's like I always look at it as Jason and all of them should be like Jaws. Jaws the shark. There's no reason why the shark does these things. It's just the shark. It does it.
It's
That's it. Oh,
animal
yeah.
instinct, you
That's
know?
all it cares about. And I don't know why it specifically attacks his family. Maybe it's just because they live by the water and they keep wanting to go in the water. You know, who cares? Jamie Lee Curtis is the sister of Michael Myers. He's gonna keep hunting after her. That's the thing. Like, she needs to team up with Sarah Connor, and then, you know, boom, taken care of. Actually, that'd be kind of a fun crossover.
Yeah, I never
Anyway, yeah.
thought. You always think about the crossover as like the main antagonist going at it. You never think about like the other people that are involved coming
Yeah.
together to try to stop them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be kind of cool.
They see Sarah Connor. Oh.
I mean,
Yeah,
it's not a
crossover.
Terminator, mind you, but
Cool, pretty
it's
close.
pretty close. So we could definitely use your help on this one.
Yeah, he's like,
My
oops.
question is what happens to Michael after he kills all of his family members? Like, does he
Does he?
snap out of it? Does he die because he's part of the chain of that family?
What if he turns back into a little kid and goes, oh my God, what happened to my mom and dad and my sister? And why is everyone pointing guns at me?
Because he, yeah, because it wasn't the movie after Halloween H2O, he finds out that like he has a niece. Like that's the one that got retconned. Like H2O, I think was and Beyond was retconned, right?
Yeah.
So, but in H2O
Was
or
it
after
H2O? No,
H2O,
not. Yeah, whatever that movie is. Halloween Revelation? Halloween, what is
I
that
think
called?
so. Yeah, where he finally kills her, but
Yeah,
then finds
at
out
the
that she
beginning.
had a daughter, so now he's going after her. So like there was still somebody in the bloodline of the family.
You know, actually, that's Halloween 5, actually.
Is
But
that?
that is how, where there's a little girl. Was it Halloween Revelations? Halloween Retribution? Halloween Revenge? No. I'm just going to type in Halloween sequel. But yeah, there is a movie that's like that where it's like Halloween 4. And it, there is a little girl that's in it. It doesn't have Jamie Lee Curtis in there. It's just, yeah, it's not. Again, when I say that, yeah, it's called Resurrection. Halloween Resurrection. That's the one that
Oh, you know
had.
what? Here's the answer because I was asking it right now. It's on the Halloween Michael Myers fandom page. It says The Curse of Thorn was placed on Michael Myers by Dr. Wynn in 1963. He succeeded in killing his sister Judith Myers and later his niece, Jamie Lloyd. By this time, Jamie's baby, Stefan, was the only remaining member of Michael's bloodline. And once he was made that final sacrifice, Wynn intended to pass the Curse of Thorn onto Danny Strode. However, Michael killed all the cult members before he had the chance. It is unknown if the Curse of Thorn eventually wore off with Wynn's presumed death or if it's permanent until his bloodline was severed. Dr. Loomis implies in Halloween 5, the Revenge of Michael Myers, that once Michael's completed his task, he would be destroyed by the rage inside him. This is touched upon in the fan film The Last Halloween when precisely that happens. Okay, that was a fan film, but that's the general idea that if he
Yeah.
does this, then Michael Myers himself dies.
Hit the rate. Okay. Well, I guess. But yeah, the movie you're the one that was after Halloween H2O is called Resurrection. And that's the one that had Busta Rhymes in it. Who I'm very happy
I
to
thought
say.
H2O had a Busta Rhymes.
No, that's LL Cool J.
Oh, that's right.
Busta Rhymes is in it along with Tyra Banks and also the actor Sean Patrick Flannery, and I'm gonna mention those three African American actors in it, and the one I wanted to live the most did, and that was Busta Rhymes.
Nice.
Busta Rhymes, although Sean Patrick Flannery, he was like a chef or something, like his character, like you find that he was a cook, and he actually tries to stand up to Michael Myers. He pulls out in the house they're in. He goes into the kitchen, sees Michael there. He can't leave. He helps his friends get out. He grabs two kitchen knives and like goes toe to toe with him and tries to cut him. Unfortunately, he's also like a foot and a half shorter and gets picked up and like stabbed into the door. And then Michael takes the second one and stabs it, goes a little overboard with it. But I was like, good for you, buddy, for, you know, trying to go toe to toe with this guy, because That ain't easy.
No. Easy at no. All. You know what? It makes me wonder who could actually go toe to toe. Like, they would never stop them.
No.
Because that curse just keeps them going.
Yeah.
But who would be strong enough to actually, like, knock them out for, like, 4 to 6 minutes?
I mean, technically, but I don't know, 4 to 6. Busta was able to do, like, some kung fu moves and knock him to the ground. Which I was like, that's right, Busta Bust, you get him.
Look at all that training you did for Def Jam Fight for New York.
I know.
Paying off right now.
I don't know. I don't know who we, I mean, the thing is, I like that no one can. It makes it fun.
Well, again, it's one of those things where it's like, you're right. You can't take him down. And like, maybe have that moment where like someone does knock him out.
Yeah.
But like when it comes again, where like they come together, like Michael has already picked up on everything. So he knows exactly what the person's going to do. And he's just like, you know, Michael's him.
I don't know. Everyone talks about the whole versus. I don't know if they ever did because they had the comics of the Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah.
I was wondering if they had the Freddy versus Jason versus Halloween.
I know they did Freddy versus Jason versus Ash, and he did it twice.
Yeah. Yes. But I don't know. I always feel like it's interesting to hear about it and to talk about it, but I don't know if I'd care to see. It's like, it's not the same. It's not as fun. I want to see poor victims trying to find a way to get out and and see if there's any other hip hop artists they can throw at him who will also survive. Because LL survived in H2O. He made it.
Snoop.
Snoop, Snoop will just
come
try
on,
and get him
Snoop's in everything.
Snoop will just try and get him high. He's like, you'll get him high. Maybe Michael will chill out. He's like, no, maybe I don't need to do this whole curse thing.
Right. Like, he just walks into one of the rooms that Snoop was in, and there's already like secondhand fumes all over the place.
You can't see anything.
Like Michael thinks he's dead because he's not moving, but it's only because he's just smoked so much weed that he's out of it.
He's inhaled so much. Anyway.
Oh, our tangents. They are so much fun.
Okay. So we actually do have other subjects we want to talk about.
Right, right.
Who do you want to go with first, man?
Okay, so let's talk about Michael Keaton here.
Okay.
Michael Keaton will be starring in the Flash movie as Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
Which many are speculating, and it's being reported that it could possibly lead into like a Batman Beyond timeline.
Yes.
Which... when I saw the meme for it, I was just like, why aren't they doing this? Why isn't this being done? Because it makes absolute perfect sense. And I guess the guys at Warner and DC were listening because we're going to get a timeline for that.
Well, I mean, because they're also, I believe it was during their DC fandom, whatever, their event, they did talk about how they wanted to make a Batman Beyond series for HBO Max. So, you know, you have the guy already. I mean... I feel like if you're going, you're getting your, because the production for Flash isn't started yet, from my understanding, or it's been halted. If you have the guy on set, why don't you just start filming some shit, man? Go for it.
Right. Just go. Like see where it goes. See where the test audience thinks and see if they want to move forward with it.
But yeah, see, so we got back here. We have Michael Keaton, for a lot of people don't know, because, you know, they weren't alive then. He was their first on-film Batman in the 80s during the Tim Burton era, which he got two movies from. And he was actually I thought he was a really good Bruce Wayne, and I really loved him as Batman. He's still, for my on-screen, in my mind, who I believe it is Michael Keaton.
All right, let me read off of it a little bit. It says...
you're
good right there. Go down a little bit. It says, if this proposed HBO Max series plays out like the original animated series of Batman Beyond, Michael Keaton would be playing a much older version of Bruce Wayne in a futuristic Gotham City. He would then take on the role of mentor to a brand new Batman who was embodied by the character of Terry McGinnis in the animated series. The reports from Small Screen does not mention what specific direction this proposed Batman Beyond live action series would take, but it is worth assuming that Michael Keaton would be featured as prominently as the older version of Bruce Wayne was in the original animated series. Small Screen does state that Keaton's appearance in the upcoming The Flash film would amount to just a cameo, but that his participation in the Batman Beyond live action series would be as a starring role. Oh.
I mean, I think it'd be awesome, but I mean, I can't think of anyone else I'd want to be Bruce Wayne in the Batman Beyond series. My question is, who do you get to be Terry?
Yeah, that's what I was Terry thinking. McGinnis. Yeah,
it's like, who could we? Who's a young? Because he's a young man. He's like
he's a teenager. He's like, well, 16.
Yeah, when we first see him. So do we get him that young? I think for live action, you probably. I mean, maybe instead of making him that young, get a little older. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I. Because my concern is having someone that young for a character that's this kind of serious gets into the, like, you're, it's okay. It works for Spider-Man because of his type of humor that goes in that inherently in that series for Batman Beyond. Granted, he was younger and his jokes, there are jokes there, but there's not a silliness to him. And I think that's what happens when you get like a teenager that's going to do
Yeah, this. But when he is Terry McGinnis, you do get a teenager.
Yeah, yes.
You know,
yes,
like
yes.
That attitude, that mentality, you know, doing the Spider-Man thing where he's trying to live the dual life of being the Dark Knight and then on the other side trying to maintain his family because he it's just his mom and his younger brother,
yeah.
Maintaining a relationship with his girlfriend, having relationship problems where he ends up in the arms of another woman. Like, this all happens, and it's just like.
I think what, but my concern, I guess, about it is that, you know, even this, this is HBO Max. When you talk about like a teenage anything, I always fall into the realm of their sister station, which is the CW. And, you know, teen dramas there, there is a very distinct formula that they go by. And it isn't what I'd want to see in a Batman Beyond. Like, I don't want to necessarily see like that. I like it. That's why I'm okay with it if they fast forward it a little bit to a older Terry McGinnis. It's not like a lot older, but just enough. You know, maybe in his late teens, early 20s, have him.
College days, because he does go to college.
He does go to college and, you know, have it be a little bit more serious. Because I don't know if I want to see, like, oh, it's so hard going to prom. Like, I don't need all that.
Yeah, but at the same time, I would, maybe because of the fact that how his father gets killed, like, I would like to see a direct effect on him. Like, I'd like to see Terry McGinnis as the teenager just trying to live his life and then see him get to the point where it's just like, I want to avenge my father.
Yeah.
In this futuristic world, we're not talking about like the olden times it's just like, I want to see a live interpretation of that. I thought that the animated series did a really good job with it, but I would like to see it. Of course, I wouldn't want to see it frame by frame, like, is what happened in the animated series, so we're going to try to recreate it. No.
Get the hitting points. Get the high points you need, but that's it. I mean, but, you know, it'd be interesting because I hit with Michael Keaton as that Bruce Wayne, specifically that older grizzled Wayne. I think they could probably get a nobody, and because of it, as long as he's a good actor. Like, if you can find your Tom Holland, but for this, then
you just gotta get a talented actor.
It's gonna be tough, especially for someone who's gonna want to do. Because this is going to be a series, so it's going to be like 10 episodes, so I figure that's a long time to commit to. I mean, there isn't a series I've watched on HBO Max that I didn't enjoy. Like, I really like Doom Patrol. I didn't think it would be as fun as it was, and it's a really fun series. And it connects to all the CW shows, thanks to that whole crossover they did for the Crisis series.
You know, what I started watching was Lucifer, actually. And then I found out later that they integrated it a little bit into the Arrowverse.
Yes. It's part of that Crisis. It was part of their Crisis on Infinite Earths series, or it's crossover they did. But yeah, it's because Lucifer is a DC character.
Yeah.
By Neil Gaiman.
Vertigo.
And of course he's friends with, you know, Constantine. I think we talked about this before. Of course he's friends with Constantine. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're buddies. I mean, I believe we talked about it a little bit last week, but it's like, yeah, of course they are. Of course they're friends.
Well, so, friends is maybe...
Well, I mean, friends, they know each other.
Yeah.
They know who each other is.
They will ask each other for favors, yes.
Of course. I mean, you got juice. You got enough power to help people out on both sides, so... Or not.
Actually, what I want to do... Because I saw that clip of it, and he goes, I owe you for Maze.
Yeah.
I want to see what Constantine did to Maze, whether it was help her or get rid of her, send her back to hell, whatever.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll do something. I mean, why not?
Well, because it's almost over. Lucifer's going to be done. It's on the second half of season five. We're still waiting on. And then season six is going to be the final season.
Yeah.
I take that with a grain of salt because season four was supposed to be the ending. And then they're all like, this is doing so well. We're going to do season five.
They're like, Fox is like, yeah, we can't afford this. We don't want to do this anymore. It's not any laters. And then Netflix is like, cha-ching.
We'll take it.
Bam. And it got more viewers. And it got, and they were able to do that crossover.
And because of it, they're also able to like do a little bit more where the censors can be like, okay, but it's a streaming service. We can let that slide.
Netflix. Who cares, man?
Yeah.
Who cares? Netflix. Again, I want that holiday movie is on Netflix, and there's stuff that went on in there that I went, ooh, I can't have this now. I mean, it's not, but yeah, no, but so it'll be good. I'm curious though, what if the thing I want to see the most would be the return of Mr. Freeze in a Batman Beyond, like how they did it in the animated series, if they could have that story arc play out.
Well, okay, let me backtrack just a little bit. As far as Michael Keaton making that small cameo in The Flash, do you want to see it as him still putting on the suit, or do you want to see it to where he is mentoring Terry McGinnis in this small cameo?
In that small cameo, I think I'd want to see him in the suit, but I want to see him as a very well beaten down man.
Yes.
He's very old. That's the, not that he's like beaten because he's in that he's of his skill per se, but it's because
he's older. Old. It's taking longer for his body to recover from the injuries that he's sustaining.
That he's kind of, even if the idea that he's like, because the suit he made, kind of like how in the, when his last fight he had with Superman, he had to cheat with his suit because he knew he couldn't win. That like how it's kind of Iron Man'd up a little bit. It's like, yeah. Get that and have it where it's right before he makes the Beyond one.
I see what you're saying. I was thinking of him wearing the Beyond one. Because if you remember, when the series does start, he is wearing it and he retires from it.
Yeah, well, because he wore it once and was like, he kind of got the crap beat out of him. So he's like, I can't.
I wouldn't think that was once. I think he had already been wearing it for a little while before he was just like... We only saw it the one time.
You're right. We only see it the one time, and then that street gang, the Joker street gang, kind of took him out because they're all juiced up.
So that's what I would want to see. Like, I'd want to see it. Yeah, I'd want to see it to where Bruce Wayne is in his twilight years of the Batman mantle.
Yeah.
When he makes his appearance on there, like to the point where like the Flash is just like, dude, you need to stop.
Yeah.
Like everyone's already saying that, but like. When the Flash, who has never met this version of Batman before, tells him, dude, from what I've seen, you need to stop doing it. And you know, Bruce Wayne, stubborn as hell, not going to do it, is just going to disregard it entirely. Like, he'll say, like, don't you have a timeline you need to go to?
Yeah, probably, because he's not the same one, right?
Right.
He's not the same.
He knows it's not his Flash.
Yeah.
So... Actually, that opens up another conundrum, is if they do end up doing this series, are we going to see any of the renditions of some of the superheroes that, you know, we didn't get a lot of Wonder Woman, we didn't get a lot of Superman, we got like three episodes because it was an arc of the Justice League
in
the future. We didn't see Wonder Woman, we didn't see Flash, like whether or not he was still connected to the Speed Force and if it was like maintained. Like, we didn't see any of that. Do you think that with this series, they may have a little bit of some of the other superheroes that are connected to Bruce Wayne?
They can. It leaves it open whether or not they can get it. I think once Warner Brothers figures out what they're doing with some of their bigger characters... And how they want to address them as far as on the streaming, because they did connect them. Like, you know, Ezra Miller makes an appearance in that Crisis on Infinite Earths.
I loved that cameo.
That part
was
really funny because he didn't even know the comic. He goes, "Ooh, with Flash, that's a good name."
He's like, "Hey, are you a cosplayer? I totally take a picture with you."
And then he looked at him and goes, "Wow!" And he tells him, "Where even when was it Grant Gustin looks at him, goes, 'Wow, your suit, you look so well protected.'" He goes, "Yours looks so comfortable."
I'm like, and they're just like poking at it.
Like, that's cool. You're called the Flash. Wow, that's a great name. I'm like, dang.
So that's how we got it in this universe. Awesome.
But, you know, to see the other characters and how they would perceive them. Because in a TV series, you know, you do have He can, I mean, that leaves it open where he can run into different versions of himself. I don't know if we can get the iterations that we're accustomed to. I mean, we might see, I don't know, there might be a version of Wonder Woman we see where it's not necessarily the one we've had before. I don't know. I mean, I
Maybe, you know what? Maybe we'll get Red Sun Wonder Woman.
That'd be kind of dope. That'd be
Yeah,
kind of dope to
like, so she's
see.
very untrusting of all the like the
Well,
superheroes
yeah.
now, because they weren't like she's been around them, but she's been around the
Different
Russian
ones.
versions
Yeah.
of it, and it's just like it leaves a bad taste in their mouth.
Yeah, I mean, like I mean, the concept of having alternate versions of you from different universes, that you could play on that very well, and you can have these characters show
I
up.
think if they, yeah, if DC does it right, they could actually have something here where they I think could surpass what Marvel's doing. And I know they're not doing it in the sense of like a direct competition. They're just trying to do their own thing, make their own
Yeah.
money. But imagine just being able to like pick from all the different universes that they have and just bring them together. Like, I don't even think there's even been an idea of that in any of the Marvel films. It's just we're just rehashing a lot of the stories that have already happened in the comics. Maybe some not as big as some of the comic blockbusters that came out for it, but they're still doing it.
I mean, the closest we're, I mean, the what we'll get as far as the alternate dimensions of stuff, it actually is
Doctor
gonna
Strange,
is
right?
Doctor Strange. That'll be the beginning of it. I mean, because they had, I mean, they had their own agenda. They had their own story like they had to go through. I mean, the getting everything for the Infinity Saga going, which was, that was a giant of a thing to do unto itself. So now to see what they're gonna do with
Took a
Doctor Strange in a movie,
decade, man.
I know. So it's like, which is the slow burn, very exciting, but the slow burn. But the advantage that DC has now, though, is because they already have a set up a very successful streaming service with HBO Max, and they were able to move their DC or not DC Direct, the DC Online or DC Universe, whatever that old one that no one wants to care about now, they were able to move their other shows there. They also did that because, they again, they were able to get Titans is on there now, along with Swamp Thing and Doom Patrol, and those are all connected. Like they through the CW series were able to say these are all connected. They're some of them got wrecked, but all these shows were all connected to each other, no matter how loosely based they made it. So maybe Marvel wants to do that. Maybe they don't. Maybe they got a lot of stories to tell still. So, but yeah, as far as the Flash cameo, I just want it to be good. I don't want it to be like it'd be really mad if he's like just driving. Like Bruce is in his long car with Alfred, and then the Flash shows up and he goes, "Hey," and that's it. I'm like, "What the hell? That's what we get." Ah!
Yeah, it's still like I still like the Flash meeting the Flash better than
Yeah, I
that.
know. Oh, that was such a good one. But yeah, I mean, but I really do hope that this Beyond series works because I really love that franchise, especially how it connected to it when they got it to connect to the Justice League Unlimited series for the animated series on Cartoon Network, and how they were able to connect those stories back to other things.
And they
I,
closed out
yeah,
Batman Beyond too, like
yeah, they gave it a finale through a backdoor finale through an episode of Justice League, which I'm like,
do the
oh,
final
that's,
episode if I recall
yeah.
correctly. Like that was the last episode of Justice League, wasn't it?
No, we actually had a discussion about this. It is not the last episode.
It's not.
No. It was just an episode for that moment because it's a flash forward. The last episode is when Darkseid,
Find meets up with Lex Luthor and
yeah,
has the
and
anti-life equation.
yes, and then that's when Superman, like that's when we see Superman just go all out, but then he's fighting Darkseid, so he ends up losing because of that thing. That was the final episode.
I
I
feel
feel
like
like we had this discussion
that
before.
aired first and then they showed the last one. Or maybe that's just how, because I remember it was on Netflix for a little while, and I think that's probably just how Netflix placed it, maybe.
Maybe. But yeah, either way, that was not the last episode. I was like, oh, we didn't get to see how it played out. But that was a good one where you get to see how it plays out. And it's funny that of the members of the Justice League that would talk to Terry, it's like, oh yeah, Superman wants me to help him with something. He goes,
Yeah,
oh, tell
Kent
Clark I said
called.
hi.
He
Kent
wants to you
Connor.
to look at something. It's
And
nothing serious.
I'm like, ah, well, I mean, at least he's. At least, I mean, I'm not expecting Superman to get old and die, so. But it was just
Well, I mean,
like,
he was in that. So it's just like we saw him with a light bit of white hair. He still had like a dark of it on the top. So my guess at that point, it's like he still has the same physique and structure, but it's like all white
I
now.
mean, Kryptonian, so.
Yeah. Still getting powered by the sun, so.
But yeah, I'm really excited to see Michael Keaton reprise this role, even if it is gonna be something
Yeah.
small, but potentially big in the next in Batman Beyond, which I'm hoping is good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I want to see where that goes. I'd love to see what Michael Keaton can bring into a live action Batman Beyond series. Because if you look at it, I mean, regardless of him being Bruce Wayne, he was a crotchety old man. So I want to see Keaton's rendition of his Batman, what he would do in, as the old man Bruce Wayne. So I'm excited for that as well. But does it have any dates of anything or any estimations as when this
I
is going
don't
to
think
happen
any.
or?
I mean, it's all obviously gonna be all next year. It's gonna be 2021, 2022. So it's gonna be one of those things where they are gonna need to. I mean, obviously we're gonna find out more as more things develop, and hopefully nothing halts us. I know with COVID-19, it makes it an extra hurdle that
A
you don't
lot
need
more
to.
difficult, yeah.
So,
Bummer.
yeah. I mean, hopefully, I'm hoping that they announce everything, and it's gonna be fun times. We're gonna see it, and if you have HBO Max, it's even better. And if you don't, well, too bad. Sorry. I have HBO Max, so obviously, not that they're a sponsor or anything, but hey, I think they're kind of cool, guys. Give us money. Just kidding.
Like we said, we only want to take sponsorships from things that we like. So we like that.
I like it. Are you a Max member? Do you have HBO Max?
I do not know.
No.
You know what? So far all I've got is YouTube Premium, and that's only because I don't want to deal with the commercials for YouTube anymore.
I know, right? It's getting a little out of hand. It's gotten a
Like what?
little out of
Yeah, and
hand.
like there's two of them now. Like they're trying to stack them together. I'm just like, I really don't want to deal with that.
Well, I think I get more upset when I'm trying to watch a video and the video's like 30 seconds, and then I have to watch a commercial that is almost the same length as the video I want to
Yes,
watch.
yes.
Like,
Or they'll put commercials in between, and they won't let you know when they're going to start anymore.
I mean, I get it. You gotta,
Yeah, you got to make your revenue. I get that. I just don't want to deal with that anymore.
So you're paying. Okay, anything else? Netflix, right?
Yeah, Netflix and Hulu.
Okay.
So those are the three that I'm paying for right now. Actually, that's actually why I started to watch a lot of Lucifer, because I started realizing that, hey, I'm not actually watching this and I'm paying for this service. So I should definitely take advantage of this, because I know it's one of those things where it's like, if I turn it off, then like a series is going to get announced and I'm going to want it, and then I'm going to go right back to it anyways.
Yeah, for me, it's the Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, and oh, HBO Max and Peacock. But HBO Max came with my phone service, and Peacock came with my cable service.
All right.
So there's a lot of things. I mean,
Comcast.
those are all things that are coming with it. I'm a subscriber through AT&T. They're my provider, and they're like, yeah, we you are. They told me you have HBO Max. And I'm like, sweet. I'll take it.
Give it to me.
But yeah, I mean, there's so many providers out there. I also really quick, it's not one of the subjects we want to talk about, but that very interesting service, Quibi.
Oh,
They
that's
announced
right. It's shutting down.
their shutdown, which is unfortunate. Like they even looked at like how they looked at they had financial advisors talk to them and say, what can we do to fix it? And they're like, well, apparently they gave them an idea of what to do, and they're like, we don't want to do that, so we're just gonna shut down. For people who don't know what Quibi is, it was actually a very mobile-friendly service with a variety of shows from comedy to action, and it's all short form, so nothing is longer than 15 minutes. And it was relatively inexpensive, but they didn't get a lot of subscribers, so they got to end it. The part that I was very impressed by was the quality of their shows. Like I watched, they had a new season of Reno 911 there, watched it, and whether or not you watch the video, like this or like this, it would adjust accordingly as far as the how you watched it, which I thought, man, that's genius. But it shut down, which is unfortunate because there were some really funny ass things there. But you
It's
know,
just
it's a
it's
tough
very
game though.
saturated right now
I
with a
know,
lot of streaming services.
it is. And the fact that I think what killed them really is that they didn't have a what they call it tabletop or was it TV desktop? Like, there's no app. They were strictly on mobile devices, so like your computer, your tablet, or your smartphone. But like, if you
Oh, so
bought
like if
it,
you had a Roku, you couldn't even install it
nope,
there?
it wasn't available on those
Oh,
platforms
yeah,
because.
that could harm it.
Yeah, I mean, I was able to do it because I just like cast it from my phone to the TV, but not
Yeah.
everybody has that ability. You're like,
Right.
no. And you're like, why are you
And why
limiting
not do
yourself?
that? I mean, I guess I can understand it so that you can try to cut costs for the service in itself because
Yeah.
you have to come up with contracts with
Yeah.
Roku or any other smart
Yeah.
TV and whatnot. So it's understandable, but you're
You're
limiting a large portion because there's still people, believe it or not, who sit in front of their TV and
Yeah,
watch
I'm one of those people.
it.
And it's like, oh yeah. But yeah, the Quibi, they had like some dramatic shows there too that are really good. And I'm like, oh, this is, damn, that's sad. This is all going away. Oh well.
Yeah, it's a
But
bummer.
yes,
But you know
I
what? I
guess.
feel like they're closing down at a point where nobody really got hurt. Like, it wasn't like, oh, they had to do
Yeah.
Chapter 13 bankruptcy or anything. It's just like,
Yeah,
all right,
they're
you
just
know what?
gonna,
We're
I
just
think
going to
they're.
call it now before we lose any more.
Yeah.
So there's that at least.
I think
And
they're gonna
hopefully
release.
nobody was too seriously
Yeah.
affected to it to where it's just like, oh, it's damaging now.
Well, there's some shows that were exclusively on Quibi, like, you know, Reno 911 there, but they could easily move that to YouTube. I don't know how that's all going to work out because there are different productions that I don't know how the productions will deal with this, but you know, hopefully those shows, that content finds a place because it's always sad to see when there's good programming that's, you know, not going to be seen by audience members. So.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, they tried it, and if anything else, it got people paid a little bit because they
Yeah.
still need to get paid for their services
They tried it.
to do it. So at least it created jobs and work and whatnot. So if there's a silver lining to it, at least people were working for a little while.
Yeah, there's
Whether
that.
it was for the shows or it was to get everything working as far as the actual software in itself, the apps and all that. Yeah. Gotta look at the silver linings,
You gotta do it. You gotta
Yeah.
do it. I guess that leads into our the next thing I want to talk about, which was good old Sony and all their money, they decided to spend it on getting Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll.
I saw this and went, did I read this right? And it's the number that I'm looking at right here. And it's the $1 billion. Yeah, almost $1 billion for this streaming service. Now, mind you, Freebill, no, Crunchyroll is a streaming service that caters to the anime audience. Have you watched Crunchyroll at all? Have you used any of their app?
No. I find my anime from different sources, I'm not gonna lie.
It's, you mean free sources?
Well, I mean, I found a lot of them on YouTube, so it's not like I'm going to like shady sites or anything. It's just
No.
like, oh, someone's posting this on YouTube. I better watch it before it gets taken down, kind of thing. 'Cause they always get taken down.
Yep.
But I think because of this, it's also going to be a lot more difficult because of the fact that now that we
Well, yeah,
have
it's gonna be a whole.
a market in the North Americas that, now they're just going to like, well, we have this in our paid stuff, and someone who is not associated with us in any way or form is putting our content on free. I want to say streaming. I never really thought of YouTube as a streaming, but it is.
You know, it is.
So it's probably going to be a lot more difficult now because now that we have Sony owning Crunchyroll, it's gonna probably crack down on a lot of those
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, and for people who don't know, Crunchyroll is like the, I guess, because it's the streaming service for anime, at least here for North America, and Sony decided to go out and buy it because they already own
videos. Yeah,
Funimation.
isn't it like for Crunchyroll, the way it works is like as soon as it aired in Japan, it would appear on the next day on
Yeah, I.
Crunchyroll with like subtitles for whatever
Yeah.
language you wanted
Oh
to
yeah.
read it in.
Yes, they did it. Actually, their production on like how to get that logistics of all they did was actually pretty impressive considering like they whatever deals they made to get it. And I know there were some issues with Crunchyroll before, but you know they've. You know, they're definitely hitting a market where it's definitely underserved here, especially in the United States. And I think they even tried listening to fan, because there was like those the fan subs where they were doing a lot better quality for it. And I think they tried incorporating that into their service. But yeah, Sony decided, you know, it made sense because they own Funimation. So they're like, hey, we're gonna buy the streaming service and you know if they
any contract that has with Crunchyroll is going to come to us.
Yes, so it's 900. They bought it for $957 million. They're still in the process of finalizing that. So it's interesting because it's also they're partnering with Crunchyroll is currently owned by AT&T. So it's like, so they're having this partnership. And it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. But with this acquisition, this makes Sony, like, they're going to be one of the bigger or groups out there in that, like, they even talk about, they're going to be, you know, up there with Netflix and Hulu, where I'm like, wow, that's pretty severe. And, you know, so there's things like this is where, this is the like, they show some of the shows that Sony owns now here for as far as distribution through Funimation. So they're definitely going to capitalize with, you know, they have Attack on Titan, Full Metal Alchemist, and One Piece.
One Piece, which doesn't show any sign of ending, by the way.
No, so. I know. It's I feel like I've heard about that show like over a decade ago, and it was already really deep in there, and now it's still going.
Yeah, no, I think a buddy of mine's a really big One Piece fan, and he read up an interview from the writer of it, and he's just like, yeah, we don't see this ending anytime soon. Like we still got a lot of stories that we want to tell in this universe. So they're basically going to get like 10 years worth of content immediately with this.
And having Crunchyroll as your streaming platform with all of this stuff in there, you're going to have access to these things. It is pretty big, a big deal for Sony to go. And they were able to talk it down because AT&T wanted to sell it for $1.5 billion.
Oof.
Which I'm like, dang, I mean, $1 billion is still crazy to me, but never thought, I'm like, oh man.
Yeah. 1.5. Ugh. So much money. Here's the thing though, Sony would have been able to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea is you don't want to just throw away money. You want to try to work out the best deal as humanly possible. But like, if it really came down to it, I think they still would have said yes.
Yeah. Well, I think they're in the idea because AT&T, they are an owning stakeholder for Warner Brothers. And you know, as exciting as some of the things that Warner Brothers has, we've talked about it before. Warner Brothers is kind of, as far as their studios goes, has been in quite of financial issues with some projects not working out well. There, I don't know where that lawsuit with the Conjuring guy went, but I know that was a big.
They settled out of court.
They settled out of court.
They settled out of court. They didn't say the number though. That was part of the agreement. Was that they couldn't come out and say like, okay, well, we're gonna give you this amount, but you got to keep it quiet.
What was it?
NDS.
Like, what was the number that they said that because Conjuring had made like, was it $200 million or something?
Something like that.
Office.
Yeah.
It was a large number for box. It was like a huge number for box office for the several films that they've made. And then
they boxed themselves into a corner
with that whole witch thing. I'm like, dude, just give the guy producer credit and $40 million and be done.
Yeah.
They've had some financial issues and some movies didn't pan out the way they wanted to or other scenarios that occurred as a studio as a whole. And, you know, even AT&T has been looking to shop some things around. We even talked a little bit about how.
Didn't they sell their stake in Hulu?
They did. They did sell their stake. Yeah. They couldn't afford to put stuff out there like that.
And I forget who bought that.
Disney.
That's right.
Disney bought it. They're like, cool, on the cheap too. But they, you know, there's even those rumors that they potentially would need to license out or get someone else to run the DC Comics, which is like, who could do that? I'm like, well, Disney/Marvel can. Like, ah, oh, that hurts so many DC fans.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if they can keep it going. But it's the idea that it makes sense. AT&T is trying to like slim down because they need to save some money and build up some stock on stuff. And to get rid of Crunchyroll for that money, I don't get rid of, but to sell an asset like that, that's a lot. And the fact that good for Sony, because then you're going to see, obviously, they're going to advertise this on their Sony PlayStation 5, like on their route. You're going to see like, yeah. Crunchyroll, yeah, the PlayStation 5. I wouldn't be surprised if they did offer like a discount on their
to start. Yeah,
to start on the
like
the
1 year, it'll be at a reduced price point compared to anybody who's not doing it through their PlayStation 5.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's gonna be. This is actually. I thought about. I'm like, damn, I forget how big time Crunchyroll is.
I remember at one point they were trying to create a convention for it too.
Didn't they get one show?
One show. That's why I said they tried, because it was only one show. Yeah. And then unfortunately it just didn't work out very well. Like there was, I guess the planning phase of it was just nobody got the memos kind of thing. So like you were just kind of able to do anything when you got to the convention center. But hey, you know what? Maybe now that Sony has it, they may revisit it and there'll be a bit more structure to it to where they might be able to actually have a full-on convention.
Yeah.
Especially in this time where a lot of conventions are gone because of COVID.
Yeah.
Like, to have a rush of new ones come in on top of the old ones that still survived would be a definitely, in my personal opinion, a good marketing strategy. Because why not, you know?
Yeah, and then even then, if they can't do the in-person one, they're very much possible for them to go and do a streaming experience. You know, why not have, you know, they could easily, with the tech they have, with Sony's resources, you could get something off the ground by saying, hey, check out Crunchyroll 2021 Expo, whatever you want to call it. And then, you know, they could advertise whatever shows they have. They can advertise some of their products coming for PS5. And then, you know, whatever else they got. But yeah, as you realize, I forget how also big Sony's TV and movie production is. Mm-hmm. Like, they have it's a pretty large wing for their group. And to see what's going to happen with this acquisition, I'm curious on how well it'll change, or how much it will change for current subscribers. Hopefully they don't get boned in any way. But
I would assume if they do end up doing a price bump, anybody who already has like a current contract will probably not get bumped at least for a year,
mm-hmm.
at the very minimum, before it's like, all right, but we're going to start today, November 7th, 2020. Mm-hmm. So it goes through. It's like, if you're already a member of Crunchyroll, then you'll still pay the same amount until November 7th, 2021.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be willing to go that route. I feel like companies have to start off on a loss when they buy something like this.
Yeah.
Only to allow for like growing pains. And
it's a new business that's coming into your family. There's going to be resources that are different.
Right.
It happens. There's going to be some, definitely, as you said, growing pains.
So I would think the first year is the growing pains, which means they probably already strategized it to the point where it's just like, all right, well, we're going to lose money on this.
Yeah.
For the first year, like we're going to get revenue from this, but it's not going to be anywhere we should be getting.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because we need to, you know, implement our system into their system, what they already have.
Yeah.
Maybe we can change a couple of things because they might have some things that are better. We probably have a lot of things that are better than their stuff. Yeah, all that.
I mean, even that, and I mean just the tech and logistics of it, but also the contracts that Crunchyroll has with existing studios and their series. Does that need to be renegotiated?
I think that's part of it. Like, if they're going to sell it, they're like, all contracts still need to be honored or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Or, and also, is it because we mentioned that, you know, Sony does own Funimation Studios distribution here in the United States? Does that mean that, it makes sense to me. I know that others might not like it, but like, are we going to see more ads for Attack on Titan on Crunchyroll? More like, you're going to see they're going to push their agenda of like, hey, check out our product. Bam! Attack on Titan, and then all this other shows right here.
I'm sure when everything was sold, the guys who owned Crunchyroll prior to Sony probably put it in the contract because they have to protect themselves.
Yes, of course.
You know, because otherwise, if they don't, and Sony decides to do whatever they want, you know, the guys who created Attack on Titan or One Piece can say like, "Hey, we had this agreement, and you didn't honor it. We're gonna sue you."
Yeah.
It's like, and they have grounds for it. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm sure there isn't. They're not going to do that. They don't want to shoot themselves in the foot for that.
Absolutely not.
I am curious on like,
how like, oh, this you guys changes. Just got $1 billion? Okay. Well, we're going to ask for a nice chunk of that.
Like, we need this back. I'm like, do you though? Do you? Actually, they kind of do. But,
all right. We're just around the mark. We're almost done. I didn't really mention this before to you, Randy, but I did want to talk about this for just really quick.
Okay.
So I know we don't, I've been like very adamant to not talk about wrestling, mainly because I had ideas of like, I wanted to have another show for it, but I think this one is worth mentioning. So there's a professional wrestler. Her name is Kylie Rae, who recently announced that she is retiring from pro wrestling. And she doesn't look a day over 25, if I'm being honest. But she went out and she posted this on her Instagram page. I'll go ahead and share the screen really quick. This was reported from comicbook.com, but it did get its sources directly from her. Let's see. So if anybody who's not watching this on our YouTube channel, which I'll be honest, I have actually been kind of lacking on, so I'll make sure everything comes back up. I'll read this out to you guys so that you can see, but anybody else can definitely check a look at what we're reading. Okay, so Kylie Rae posted this. She said, "Good morning. I'm truly sorry for the pain I've caused and miscommunication. I am currently unwell. I'm also sorry that I won't be able to get this out before your monthly subscription charge. I wanted to take this time to say I am no longer a professional wrestler and am currently taking a break from social media. It's been a very hard decision to make, but please understand, when I am well, I will try to fulfill my obligations that have missed. During this time, most tiers will not be fulfilled. Please feel free to unsubscribe from this membership/Patreon account. Thank you for your understanding." Now, when she says unwell, I don't think she actually necessarily meant that as like she got hurt or anything, like physically. I think it's more so on the mental side of it. And this is why I first off wanted to commend Kylie Rae for it. I will say that it is a major bummer to see her stop wrestling, because that's how I was introduced to her. I liked her wrestling style. I liked the personality that she brought into the ring. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was very cheery. And sometimes you need that in the world of professional wrestling, where you've got the strong guys, angry, the gruff guys. Yeah, you need to have that cool counterbalance to it. And she brought that to whatever department she was in. You know, she was signed originally to AEW, and then unfortunately she wasn't. They said that it was a good parting, in the sense of just like, it wasn't like anybody burned any bridges, so that she might be able to come back. She ended up going to Impact. And then she's
which
just
is kind of making
there.
A comeback, which yeah. I was like, I thought they yeah. were the
but yeah, the reason I bring this up is because she says I am unwell, and this is why I commend her, is because she is actually taking a step back to try to sort what she's going through. The idea of mental health and talking about it still has that major stigma to it, mm-hmm. where nobody really wants to bring it up. Nobody wants to have that conversation. And, you know, we've had episodes where we're talking about celebrities, musicians that we follow that unfortunately, you know, committed suicide. Mm-hmm. Maybe because they didn't actually get to address these things. Maybe they were just trying to think, okay, well, you know what? I'm just going to work through this. I'm going to keep myself occupied. That works to a certain degree, but everything comes back. You know, it's something that has to be addressed. And she came out and she said, I am going to deal with this. I am not doing well. Which I commend her for, because it's just like she is trying to help in that idea of normalizing the talks of mental health. Mm-hmm. So I want to say thank you, Kylie Rae. Hopefully you're listening to this. We want everybody, as many people, to listen to our show as possible, of course, but we hope you're listening to this current moment, because you, even if it's only for you and you announce this, you are actually helping the cause of normalizing the conversation, to getting people to talk about it. You know, if someone like a professional wrestler like Kylie Rae can say, hey, I'm having mental health issues right now, I need to back off, then the average Joe or Jill can do the exact same thing. And we are in the holiday seasons, and, you know, as times that they're supposed to be filled with love and joy, there are people that take it in the opposite effect.
Yeah.
Where they get really down, they get really sad, depressed, and unfortunately...
Was it the holiday blues? Blues. Not to make it sound
true. That kind of softens it.
But it's like a legitimate... It's like, yeah, people get sad.
Yeah, it's like that happens. So I wanted to take the opportunity, and we've given out the number before, but I wanted to give out the number again for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Especially during these times, even if you're just curious, if you want to just be able to talk to somebody on the other line, I highly recommend checking it out. The number is 800-273-8255. They also have a chat line as well. If you actually go online, if you type in suicide hotline number, there is an option for a chat. It'll come up and you'll be directed to someone directly, so that you can take the time, just talk about it. You know, I also know that there's a lot of new programs out where it's just like you can get therapy through chatting with professional doctors in the situation. You know, there's so many more resources coming out for this, and it is going to get to that season. You know, where we've just started November. As of this recording right now, it's November 7th. We're, you know, I got mad at this. I joke about it, but it also is a sign of it. I got mad when I saw a Christmas commercial the day before Halloween, but it is that time, you know, where the holiday seasons start rushing in.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want everybody to be okay. We want everybody to be good. We want everybody to be happy as much as humanly possible.
Yeah.
If those thoughts, if those feelings start creeping in, know that if you dial that number, there is going to be somebody else on the other line who deals with this, who is willing to listen to you. They're there for you. So take advantage of that service. Also, if you're not, but you know somebody who is, you know, take the time to tell them, hey, you know, there's places that can help. So give them a call.
Please do.
Yeah, it's... I can't imagine what it feels like to go through what people are going through the mental imbalances that they have, the thoughts that run through their head, the self-defeat that they impose themselves on. But what I can say is that whatever situation that you're in, more times than not, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You just need to be willing to grit your teeth and to continue to move forward. And if that means asking for somebody's help to do it, then do it.
Yeah.
So I'll read that number off one more time before we end the show. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 800-273-8255. If you don't want to talk, you prefer texting or opening up a chat window, they have that as well. Take the time, take a look at it. If you feel like you need somebody to talk to, they're there 24/7. Always someone else on the other line, or always someone willing to chat with you on that chat window. Kylie Rae, I hope whatever you're going through right now, you're able to power through it. You got my support personally. I'm pretty sure Randy would say the same. I'm sure there's a lot of people on social media that give you a lot of crap, but let's remember there's also a lot of people on social media that give you a lot of love. So don't focus on that hate, you know, do what you got to do to make yourself better. If I don't ever see you in a professional wrestling ring, that will be a shame, but I would prefer to you happy and healthy than aching body and mind.
Yeah. If it's for the greater good for her, that's fine. It's perfectly fine.
All right. Sean, we missed you on this episode, man. I know you're listening in. So hopefully we'll have you on the next one. Hopefully no more fever by next week. Final words, Randy?
I mean, be cool, everybody. Just be cool.
Right. Be cool. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the arcade is officially closed. We will see you next time.
And that was the ES Arcade. Thanks for listening. As always, we'd appreciate a like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow us on our social media at ES Arcade, that's C-A-D-E, on Facebook and Twitter, and ESR_Cade on Instagram. And hey, you can follow Randy on Twitter at Randy B. Reyes, R-E-Y-E-S, and Ransom01 on Instagram. I see what you did there, bud. Thanks again for listening. The arcade is officially closed. See you next time.